proclaim August 6, 2015 to be Voting Rights Day in Portland.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and members of the council. It's my pleasure to introduce members of the League of Minority Voters here to help us commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act and discuss its significance today. I invite up Promis King, Shota Zono, and Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes. After a long fight led by civil rights activists, the Voting Rights Act was signed into law by President Lyndon B. Johnson on August 6, 1965. He called it one of the most monumental laws in the entire history of American freedom. The Voting Rights Act prohibits racial discrimination in voting, specifically forbidding the use of literacy tests and other tactics used by states to prevent citizens of color from accessing their constitutional right to vote. The Voting Rights Act also helps the federal government ensure the 15th Amendment is enforced properly. The Voting Rights Act was and continues to be a groundbreaking piece of legislation, even more essential today as voter suppression and disenfranchisement continues, and as key provisions of the law have been chipped away. I'm grateful to have the League of Minority Voters here, an organization committed to increasing voter access and encouraging civic engagements with community of color. So I'd like to welcome and turn it over first to Joe DeZono. Joe?
Good morning, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Joe DeZono. I'm the board chair for the League of Minority Voters. And as Portland is oftentimes leading our country, I want you to know that we're the only organizations of a kind in this country promoting the voting rights of minorities. We began as Oregon League of Minority Voters, but we just changed our name to League of Minority Voters because we have the moniker for the League of Minority Voters throughout the country. So it is amazing that when you Google, we're the only such organization in the entire country. So, again, Portland is leading the nation in this kind of effort to make sure that all the citizens of our country have the right to vote and exercise the right to vote. Many years ago when I ran for mayor, I thought the minority voters would count in my race being a person of color. And the politicians told me they don't count because they don't vote often enough, that people of color only vote half as often as people of majority community. So I used to tell some African-American friends that when the Constitution was written, they were kind of three-quarters of a person as a possession. But now politicians want to count us as only half a person because we only vote as half as often as majority community. And that is disgraceful when so many people fought the right to vote. And as witnessed by the reincarnation of the Selma's march on the bridge, and that prompted me to talk to Promis to say, we need to do something in the city of Portland to recognize that Voting Rights Act of 1965. We're one day ahead of the schedule because tomorrow is the day that was signed, but I'm glad that we're still in the ahead of our times in the city of Portland. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yes. To our illustrious Mayor Charlie Hales, welcome back. To the distinguished members of the Portland City Council, to the sponsor of this resolution, Commissioner Saltzman. Indeed, I am very thankful and deeply warmed by this official body in acknowledging the 50th anniversary of the Voters' Rights Act in the resolution today. As a youth civil rights organizer in the civil rights movement during the days of Jim Crow American apartheid, this bill was personally to me, as well as to many blacks, whites, Latinos, Jews, Protestants, and Catholics that were part of this great movement and social revolution in America to make the dream of Dr. Martin Luther King a reality for all Americans. The 1965 Voter Rights Act and its subsequent bills, as well as the 1964 Voter Rights Act, was paid for with blood and sacrifice. Freedom, justice, and equality are never free. It costs something great. I've experienced and seen with my own eyes the cost of that freedom for freedom-loving people. Although the right to vote for black people and all citizens was given in the 15th Amendment to the Constitution following the civil rights, it was quickly taken away following the few decades of Reconstruction through the use of black codes, literacy tests, poll taxes, lynching, violence, intimidation, stiff registration law, and other legal strategy. As white supremacy and the separate but equal doctrines swept over our nation, the former slaves and descendants of slaves were disenfranchised as full citizens of America and placed in another quasi form of slavery. Even though the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution existed, it was not until the modern civil rights movement under the leadership of Dr. Martin Luther King and other leaders and civil rights organizations, especially the NAACP Corps and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, led by a student named John Lewis, now Congressman Lewis, that transformation started to happen. Following the passage of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and civil rights leaders understood a lot more had to be done in changing the political, social, and economic equality in our country. In 1965, Selma, Alabama was chosen as the target city and state to initiate the nonviolent campaign and to push forward President Lyndon B. Johnson and Congress to pass the Voting Rights Act. On Sunday, March the 7th, 1965, the march across Edmund Pettus Bridge will become infamous in the history of America as Bloody Sunday. Nonviolent marches were viciously attacked by County Sheriff James Clark officers and Alabama state troopers, and blood streamed from the bridge like a river. Yet the civil rights workers gathered together and finished the march on to Montgomery. It was this campaign in Selma, Alabama, that pricked the conscience of our nation and prodded the Congress to override a Southern bloc and pass the 1965 Voters' Rights Act, enfranchising millions of black citizens and others in this country. But as we celebrate this monumental Voters' Rights Act, we must be mindful today that there are forces working to dilute it and weaken it, make it ineffective in enforcement following the Supreme Court decision. We must not allow this happen. Every generation must fight to preserve the freedom and rights that have been won by blood and sacrifice in our nation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning. Mayor Hayes, Commissioner Sussman, Commissioner Fish, and Commissioner Novich. We are founded on the belief that each generation comes with the task of perfecting our union. The League of Minority Voters for 7 years have been following this ideal of civic engagement. We focus on building database of minority voters across the state. So we come here at this hallowed ground to thank you. We're excited and exuberant about the proclamation. We're excited and exuberant about the progress so far. As you've heard from Reverend, it wasn't that cute. It wasn't sexy at all. Others paid with blood. Some paid with their life. Some paid with their comfort. Today, we are excited because the uniqueness of this proclamation and the special way that we face this proclamation. Why is it unique? Why is it special? It's unique because the son of a Jewish immigrant is asking us today to look back with pride. It is special because the son of a Congressman Fish served on the city council I am sure he's going to support this proclamation. Help me out. You know, we as an organization always believe that if we galvanize the instrument of government, if we can bring all coalition together, we can fight for the ideas that promote one destiny and our common unity. The League has been able to create programs that embolden and empower our democracy. We focus on the youth. We focus on our debate team on our youth. So we are very excited to say that this proclamation will further embolden and will give us a real clear path and history behind us and will take us to the future. Our mission is to highlight the special issues that impact our minority communities and those who have no voice. Today, 50 years after, we have seen progress, but we still have challenges. Mayor Hayes, there are no new tax, no literacy tests. But what you have are disparities in education, in opportunity, in incarceration. Those anxieties keep minority voters from participation, from full civic engagement. I am excited and emboldened and encouraged because of those of you we've elected to preside over these institutions. I have worked with Sussman, and I find him to be very resolute, straightforward, and honest. Charlie, you've been one of my biggest supporters. You have been there for the League since inception. Your wife has been a monument to motherhood and what is merciful in this city. And to Fish, you have been a friend, and you have giving me carrot and cane. That's all right. So, to Novik, you've inspired us beyond our dreams. Why am I saying this? 50 years ago, Sean and I, Reverend Haynes, can't sit here. We'll be banned from this hall. But today we're here, emboldening, enlightening, empowering, igniting your passion. We can look back. We look back with pride to say that all the work, all the efforts you've done behind the scene, up in the scene, we want to thank you for that. We appreciate that. The instrument of government need leaders who care and who are passionate about civic duty. I know you guys do. I've walked behind with you. So today at this hour, as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act, we want to recruit your spirit to the vanguard of victories that are still left won. I want to appeal for your support of the League's activities. We want to recruit your spirit to wrap your hand to this voice that is still yet unheard. On October 29th, we are going, the League of Minority Voters, as we've always done for the past 5 years, will be recognizing those in our communities, among our business and elected leaders, recognizing them for the work they've done to promote minorities' involvement and civic engagement. We will be contacting your office. We invite you all. So this hour, I want to thank Commissioner Sussman, for all your work you've done and those on my staff who work on this proclamation. And I also want to thank the mayor. Mayor, thank you. We believe the work you're doing is good. Thank you, because a leader like you, who believe in the resources of this city ought to be for everyone, require a second chance. I'm not campaigning, but I believe that the work you've done has emboldened all of our community. To Dan, thank you for giving me the impetus and the opportunity to even work at this glorious place. You have been there for me when I need help. The league, we would not be here without your real guidance and support. And to Nick Fish, your friendship has really emboldened me. And I hope that you wear the garment of your dad, who was very courageous in Congress. On that note, I want to thank you and urge you to support this proclamation. Thank you kindly.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you very much.
So I thought I'd read the proclamation list.
Please do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get a picture.
Do we get a rebuttal?
Let me read the proclamation first.
I had one comment I wanted to offer after the proclamation.
Whereas the state of Oregon, through vote by mail and the recently adopted motor voter bill, has led the nation in voter access, and the Portland community commemorates and celebrates the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and whereas the Voting Rights Act was signed on August 6, 1965, by President Lyndon Baines Johnson, after a long protracted effort by civil rights activists and organizations, and the 15th Amendment to the Constitution made voting legal for all citizens of color, but many black Americans were still forced to encounter literacy tests, poll taxes, tests of moral character, and property ownership. And whereas the Voting Rights Act helps to provide the federal government with a more hands-on role in ensuring that the 15th Amendment could be enforced properly, and whereas the law has been amended frequently since, often to the detriment of minority voters who still face obstacles to voting today, and whereas the City of Portland would like to recognize the League of Minority Voters and their dedication to promoting the value of civic engagement within our communities of color and focusing on policy issues that continue to marginalize these communities, and whereas the Voting Rights Act still remains one of the foundational pieces of legislation that confronts issues of inequality in civic engagement, now therefore I, Charlie Hales, Mayor, City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim August 6, 2015 to be Voting Rights Day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Honored guests, Reverend Dr. Haynes, Sho DeZono, Promise King. For the record, that was Promise King who was speaking. He did not have a chance to introduce himself. Yeah. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your eloquent words. In 1863, when President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, he said famously, it would cost the Republicans the South. And it did, for almost 100 years. In 1864 and 1865, Lyndon Johnson said the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act would cost the Democrats the South. And it did, for a generation. Today, Dan, thank you for bringing this important resolution forward. And let us commit, as Republicans and Democrats and independents, let us commit that voting rights is not a partisan issue. It is an American issue. And you have reminded us that so eloquently. And since Promise invoked my beloved father, may he rest in peace, I will say that as proud as I am of my father for his service, I just Googled something, and I'm even prouder of my great-great-grandfather, because in 1870, he certified that the 15th Amendment had been ratified by the states, and he did so in his capacity as Grant's Secretary of State. Gentlemen, thank you for your presence and for honoring us here today. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Mr. Novick. Yeah, you're here.
Thank you, Reverend Haynes. Thank you, Mr. King, Mr. DeZono. I do have, as always, I have to mention whatever Nick refers to as great-great-grandfather. I have to also refer to the fact that he was the only member of Grant's cabinet who wasn't corrupt and was referred to in Richard Hofstadter's great book about American history as a guy who adorned the cabinet like, quote, a jewel on the head of a toad. But I just, in keeping with what the Commissioner of Fish just said, I just wanted to note that actually although Lyndon Johnson correctly predicted that the South would hold the Voting Rights Act against the party who had the president at the time it was not a partisan issue. When Everett Dirksen, as leader of the Republican Party, helped break the filibuster and pass the Voting Rights Act. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to read a bit of President Johnson's speech in which he introduced the Voting Rights Act to Congress, with apologizing for the fact that he used a now very outdated term for African Americans. He said, "But even if we pass this bill, the battle will not be over. What happened in Selma is part of a far larger movement which reaches into every section and state of America. It is the effort of American Negroes to secure for themselves the full blessings of American life. Their cause must be our cause too, because it is not just Negroes, but really it is all of us who must overcome the crippling legacy of bigotry and injustice. And we shall overcome." It is so distressing to see that now, 50 years later, as documented in the New York Times this last Sunday, a group of determined opponents to democracy have launched a lengthy and unfortunately successful campaign to undermine the Voting Rights Act. And I'm glad that we have warriors like Mr. DeZono, Reverend Haynes, Mr. King, and members of this council to continue the never-ending fight. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I want to reflect a little bit. I appreciate my colleagues' comments very much. And Dan, thank you for bringing this forward. I want to reflect a little bit on your presentations, because I thought they were eloquent. So thank you for being here today. It seems to me that if we look at our situation now, and some of this was captured in the resolution, there are really three tests that we ought to hold ourselves to. One is access, and that's what the Voting Rights Act, and in fact the Motor Voter Act that we should celebrate as a state, that's what that's about. So that's, to me, step one. Does everyone have equal, unfettered access to civic participation? The next one is inclusion,
yes.
And that requires effort. And I'm proud of the efforts we've made as a city. We have more to do. I've often told the story about one of the more moving moments for me on being in this council the last couple of years was something that Commissioner Fritz provoked, which was deliberate outreach to communities of color around the city who then came to our budget hearings and made presentations about what they wanted for their community, whether it was Hmong Chinese elders or Somali moms talking about parks. And to me, and she asked in the course of that budget hearing, for how many of you is this the first public meeting you've attended? And about a third of the hands in the room went up. And to me, that was just a wonderful, moving Portland moment where it shows that we are really trying to be inclusive. And then the third test, which is even harder than access or inclusion, is power and influence. Do the communities of color in our city have power and influence?
Yes.
Not just access, not just inclusion, but power and influence.
Yes.
And I think we should all hold ourselves to those, all three of those goals. I think there's a lot to celebrate, particularly, again, with the passage of this Motor Voter Act that's running counter to the pernicious trends that Commissioner Novick mentioned and Commissioner Fish mentioned that are happening in the Congress. But we're going the right way in Oregon towards access, towards inclusion.
Yes.
But we need to keep working on all three of those fronts. And I know the three of you and other activists in our city will keep pushing on all three fronts and making sure that we get to that promised land of not only equal access, not only equal inclusion, but also equal power and influence for all the communities of our city. So thank you for everything that you do. And Dan, again,
thank you
for bringing this forward. We'd love to take a picture with the three of you to commemorate this, yes. If we could.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
After you pass this, right?
We don't have to actually vote, so it's good. It's done.
The record. my age, I don't have to wear a slip tie.
That's right. That's how much power and influence he has. Show it. Dr. Haynes, Thomas, great to have you here. Thank you. All right.